Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my real joy to look to the Word of God with you this Lord's Day morning. My friends, by God's will, we're continuing in a sermon series today entitled God's Dealings with the Nations. And we have been talking about the truth that God is glorified in the nations. He is glorified to judge the nations, and he is glorified to show forth his great mercy, the infinite kindness, all derived from the goodness of God, the infinite compassion of God upon the nations. We saw that in Psalm 113, verse 4, the scripture says, "The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens." And in Psalm 66, verse 7, "He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah." We also see in Isaiah 40, verse 17, "All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless." And so God is glorified in the nations. We've been looking at the truth, the particular truth recently, that God is glorified as he judges the nations. And I want to share today one last teaching with you from the book of Revelation about God's glory in his judgment of the nations. And so turn in your Bibles as you are able to the book of Revelation chapter 20, and we'll begin soon in verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. The true and living God, the God that never changes, the God who is wise and all-powerful, gracious and good, kind, a God who always judges sin and evil, the God of the Bible, our God, that is the God of those who have truly been saved by his marvelous grace, brought into the kingdom of grace and love. This great and awesome God is glorified always. Praise God. And we are reminded in the book of Revelation that we must look up to the Lord. We must turn our gaze upon him. We must focus upon God. We must remember him and not forget him, and remember that he is the great judge of all creation. He is the judge of the earth, and that we must give an account to this awesome, infinitely awesome God. And so we are helped as we read the book of Revelation. There's a special blessing upon it, the very book of Revelation tells us, upon those who read it. As we read these awesome truths of God's great victory, of his desire and will to stop evil, as he judges sin, yes, the sins of nations. And so we are helped to see God's glory, and the blessing of God comes upon us as we trust him, as we repent of our sins, as we walk in the light with him, and indeed as we hear the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. And so this is a blessing to us today. And I encourage you to seek to find that blessing today, to open your heart to God, to seek after the Lord as we look to his word together. Praise God. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. And you can learn more about our mission at www.missionafricajk.net. Praise God. Hear now the word of the Lord in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these remarkable words which immediately get our attention and immediately, Lord, remind us of your great glory and power, that you are the infinitely holy and righteous God, that you are awesome in all that you are, and that you are infinite in all that you are. And so your judgments, in accord with your glorious nature, O God, are righteous and just. And so, Lord, we have hope because of your justice and righteousness that we will be saved from our sins, and that our names indeed are written in the book of life, that magnificent, glorious book which shall be opened at the last time when you judge all peoples, you judge the nations. God, and we are also reminded of your infinite wrath and your terrible anger, which will abide upon the lost because of their evil, an infinite offense against you, the infinite God, infinitely worthy of the greatest possible punishment. And God, we remember that in your justice, you will render this awful punishment upon all who are rebellious and who will not love you and worship you. They must perish, O God. They are not of your heart, not of your nature. And so, Lord, we thank you from the depths of our hearts that you have saved us, given us a new heart, made us anew after the image of Christ Jesus, and accepted us in our beloved Christ, your beloved Son. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that you will help us once again. Come, Holy Spirit, come and open up the Word of God to us, that we might learn of your glory and now fellowship with you in the preaching and teaching of the Word, the Gospel. And that you will forgive and cleanse us, and that we may worship you in wonder and awe and love this day. We pray for your infinite mercy for sinners, God, trusting you that you are able to save and that you are mighty to save. Indeed, you will save all of the people of God. And we give you praise, Lord, for your mighty goodness to us this very day, your goodness expressed to us at this very moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, God is glorified always. He is glorified as he showers his people with mercy, as he is compassionate and merciful to all the righteous and the unrighteous. Praise God, the great and living God, the God of the Bible, the only God who sends his blessing of rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous, who shows mercy to the nations. And this awesome, glorious, great God is also glorified as he judges the nations. And today, we focus upon the final judgment. We have been looking at instances of God's judgment of the nations in this sermon series. And today, we'll look finally at the great white throne judgment, as it is called in Revelation chapter 20. And in the verses that I read to you, we see that at this final judgment, God sits upon a great white throne in absolute glory and holiness. Light emanates from him, flows out from him, and that the very earth and the heavens flee away from the face of God, as though the very creation cannot bear to behold the face of the Almighty. There is found no place for the earth and heaven. You see, this is a judgment of people, but it is also a time in which God purges the very creation, the earth and the heavens, of the corruption which has resulted from man's sin. And so the earth and the heavens will flee away from the presence of God, and God will bring forth a new heaven and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, because the first heaven and the first earth will have passed away. We find that in the first verse of the next chapter. And so, praise God, all corruption, the result of evil, of sin, is purged from the creation by a great fiery judgment of God. And all people that God ever created, the dead, small and great, stand before this great and awesome living God for judgment. And it says in verse 12 that at this great judgment, that books are opened, the record, the history of the creation, and the record and the history of individuals, yes, and of nations. And the judgment is revealed. The evidence that acquits the righteous and that finally condemns the wicked comes forth. God judges the peoples. And the record, of course, is absolutely infallible. It cannot err. The record of God, the books of God that are opened, have in a real sense been written by the Spirit of God and are an absolutely accurate record of the doings or the works of men. And as we saw last week in Matthew 25, men are judged according to their works in verse 13. In this, the hearts of men are judged, and the hearts of men are finally and totally revealed. The righteous have truly loved God and obeyed Him and served Him. Their works testify to this before the great tribunal. The wicked have not loved God and have not served God. In fact, they have rebelled constantly against God, and their hearts of rebellion and darkness are revealed by their works. And so the books are opened. And it says that another book was opened, which is the book of life, that great and glorious book in which the names of God's elect are written. And it's interesting to note that other verses in the Bible tell us that the book of life contains the names of those ordained to life before the creation of the world. So that in a real sense, we understand that God has purposed the salvation and life of His elect children, His chosen ones, and that His determination from before the creation was that they would be saved. In this sense, the book was written before the creation of the world, but it is finally opened now at this great judgment. And the dead are judged according to their works, as we see it there in verse 12. It's repeated again for us in verse 13. And they were judged each according to his works by the things which were written in the books. Once again, the books are the evidence, the perfect record that the omniscient God has recorded of the works of men and of nations. And all must come before God. Verse 13 is a verse in which we see the summons of God. He summons all that he has ever created before him. The dead come up out of the sea and out of death and Hades. And so every person who has ever lived is summoned before God, and they are judged, each one according to his works. Now, my friends, this judgment of God is absolutely inescapable. God, the creator of every person, is able to bring every person out of death. He is able to resurrect the dead, the righteous and the unrighteous. He is able to fashion their corruptible bodies into incorruptible, glorified bodies, which must endure forever. This is true of the righteous and the unrighteous. And so God summons, he calls, and the dead must arise arising out of the sea, out of hell, out of death. The dead come alive. We see other verses in the Bible that indicate that the righteous living are glorified in an instant and are gathered to Christ. And so all are gathered. And at this great judgment, the final verdict, the final statement and word of God to the peoples, to the nations, is rendered, and the wicked are cast forever into the lake of fire. Verse 14, then death and Hades, and we might add this morning that God deeply hates evil, and evil has brought about death. It is repugnant to the great, holy, and living God. He is life. He lives, and death is repugnant to him. And the consequence of sin is death, and death is this hated condition, is judged finally. It is put away from the great living God. And so there is this final separation of the dead from the living. The dead are the evil and wicked, rebellious, who would not bow the knee to God, but loved death, loved their sin unto death. These are judged inescapably and eternally, cast into the lake of fire. Hell, the place of torment that awaits the great judgment of being cast into the lake of fire, is also cast away from the great living God. It is, if you will, removed from him and from his people who have life. Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, the living Son of God, praise God, will judge, and he will cast away from him and completely out of his creation death and hell. The wicked are banished forever. The scripture says this is the second death. Now, there are a few interpretations of the meaning of this phrase, this sentence, this is the second death. Let me share with you briefly mine. I understand this to mean that the dead are those who have died in this world, have experienced a first death, but the second death is the banishment from God for eternity into the lake of fire. The elect, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who truly, dearly love God, do not experience the second death. They may die but once, and so they live forever. Death cannot hold them. God, the living God, who will always live, causes them to live, though they may die once, and then the judgment. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so there is this final great separation of the dead and the living. And let me just mention again this morning that the Lord Jesus often spoke of this separating of the believing from the unbelieving, the living from the dead, in his parables. And we see the truth presented often in the scripture by the Spirit, that there is a great day of reckoning coming. There is going to be this great separation, this great judgment. There is a gathering to one side or to another, as we saw in Matthew 25 last week, of all peoples and nations. And so, my friends, when I was 5 years old, the truth of this great judgment, the reality of God's judgment for my sins, that is that those who do not believe in him are cast into eternal hell and the lake of fire, impacted me in such a way that at the age of 5, I determined in my own childish way in my heart that I must find God. I must believe in Christ before I died. And that thought stayed with me from the age of 5 throughout my life until I came to Christ and finally surrendered to my great and loving, gracious God. I was born again at the age of 32. And so this truth grips us. This reality, this great revelation of God, that there is a final judgment that none can escape it, that every person will be judged by God, the righteous to live, the wicked to die, is before us today. And this powerful truth that God is going to judge can work in our hearts and in our lives to move us to find salvation in Christ. Sadly, for some, it simply hardens them in their unbelief. They think nothing of it. They feel little impact of this great and glorious truth, and they continue in their ways, only to be startled and ashamed, only to be overcome suddenly at some future day by their death, and then finally to be caught unawares, unprepared at the final judgment. Praise God. And so we must prepare, my friends. And if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are saved, if we are born again, if we repent of all of our sins, our names will be found to be written in the book of life. If not, then that person will be cast into the lake of fire. God's final judgment and God's final dealings with the nations in this sense. Now, I want to share quickly with you, our time is going, just a few truths from the book of Revelation, kind of a very quick general survey of this awesome and powerful book. And in this, we see that God, throughout the course of history, has faithfully judged the nations and is judging the nations and will judge the nations. So that in the book of Revelation, we have aspects of his past judgment, his present judgment, and his future judgment. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great prophecy in which we see God's final dealings with people, with individuals and the nations. And in this, we see God's judgments upon individuals and nations. And the book begins with the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the great and glorious God, to the Apostle John. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the Son of God, the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And so he lives, he was dead. Behold, he says, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of Hades and death. Praise God. And so Jesus, the revealed Christ, has a word for certain churches found in Asia Minor. We find that in the first chapters of the book of Revelation. And many of these churches are not commended. They are not encouraged by God for their works. Again, a reflection of their faith. But indeed, they are rebuked for their works and for their condition of heart. And so we see this note of judgment that the very churches of God, these early churches, are judged, are dealt with by God. And he calls them to repentance with a message that they must seek life and take hold of life and find life finally. They must repent of their sins. He says, for instance, in Revelation 2, verse 16, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And so this is written to the church of Pergamos, which compromised the gospel. They were not living in accord with God's will and holiness. Again, you see their movement, their tendency to corruption, to being compromised, to not holding fast to Christ in holiness, to becoming unholiness by their sins, sexual immorality, and by their idolatry, by their holding to false doctrine. Again, we will be judged by our doctrines, by our understanding of the truth. Now, this is a great incentive for us to study the Bible, that we might find the truth, that we might then trust the truth and obey the truth. Therefore, our works revealing obedience to acceptable knowledge of God. Praise God. And so Jesus says, repent, I will come to you quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. In his mouth there is a sharp, two-edged sword that spins about. His word is a sharp sword, the sword of the Spirit, and it cuts. And finally, the word of Christ will judge to destruction those who do not repent. He will fight against them. His word will judge them. Praise God. He encourages those who overcome that he will give them hidden manna to eat and a white stone, and on that stone a name written which no one knows except him who receives it. Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? There is hidden food, manna. We could say there is glorious truth. There, the Word of God feeds us. There is a wonderful blessing, a sustenance that those who overcome receive. They eat gladly, praise God, upon the hidden manna. And they are also given a love token from the resurrected Christ. A white stone on which is written a name, Jesus' own name, to them and for them. Praise God. I love to think about this, about what the Lord's name, my new name, will be, what he will call me, and that only I will know. Praise God, I will hold in my glorified hand this beautiful white stone with my new name written, God's very name for me as his dearly beloved son. Praise God, how very wonderful that will be. And so, again, we see that God brings these judgments even to his church. There are these chastenings. Now, we must mention that, to my knowledge, there are no Bible-believing churches in these nations, cities, I should say. There are some Bible-believing churches in Turkey. These churches were located in what is now modern Turkey. We call it Asia Minor, but to my knowledge, for instance, there are no Bible-believing churches in Thyatira. And so, ultimately, Christ, the faithful God, brought these churches to an end. And we can't help but hear again his admonition, his loving, merciful warning that they overcome. He says in verse 13 of chapter 3, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And in verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, as though, again, he is loving the church, warning them of coming judgment if they compromise, if they wander from the truth into darkness. Darkness he will always judge. And so, again, a kind, loving admonition, a call to repentance. And remember the terror of the Lord. Remember what he is capable of doing in his awesome judgments. Well, my friends, our time is gone, and we've just begun just to scratch the book of Revelation. I think that as God wills, we'll continue. Let me give you a brief overview, a brief summary of this magnificent book next Lord's Day, as God enables us. Now, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for these marvelous verses that you have used so powerfully in my life to turn me from my sins, Lord, to lead me to repentance, to find your goodness. And I pray, Lord, that these wonderful, awe-inspiring, yes, fearful, yes, terrifying verses will lead many who are listening today to turn from their sins, that they too might come into the blessing of eternal life and love you, ever-living God, and enjoy your blessed Son, the ever-living Christ, and live forever by your Spirit, the eternal Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, And so bless these truths to our hearts. And we pray for mercy again for the lost, asking that your Spirit will come, save them from their sins. Bless your church today, Lord, your beloved church. May she be holy. May she escape your chastisements. May she escape judgments. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.